The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back. Hour number two here at Radio Row. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. And we just had a guy who's going to go very high in a draft. Here's another guy who could very well be the number one overall pick in the draft. Joey Bosa joins us. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Man, I read a story about you. It seems it's probably been a month or so since I read it, but you got into your trouble, I guess, in the offseason, suspended for a game. And rather than live the big man on campus life, you basically decided, I can't screw up again.
Yeah.
I'm going to go live in this apartment by myself with basically, like, my Xbox,
exactly,
and stay out of trouble. I mean, I guess at the end of the rainbow, you know, there's probably a $20 million check coming your way. So, but I mean, that's got to be a strange life for a guy who was doing the things on the field that you were to not have the glitz and glamour of the college football lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sacrifice, of course, but when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, what is it really a sacrifice? You know, miss a couple parties in college and be rewarded with such a great opportunity that I'm in now. So it just kind of set me straight, and I wouldn't say I'm thankful it happened, but it definitely woke me up and really set my mind to what was important.
Has it been made public what you got suspended for?
No, but I'll discuss it personally
with the GMs
with the
and things
team
like
team.
That. Yeah, that's that's got to be a weird thing because I mean, they all know that something happened. They don't know what happened, but that's going to be one of the things you deal with at the combine. We asked Paxton Lynch. He said he's planning on doing whatever they ask him to do at the combine. You the same way, or you want to do whatever, you want to do it all and show your goods in front of everybody?
Yeah, I'm gonna compete. That's what I'm training for right now is the combine, to go perform as well as I can. So I'm gonna do everything they want me to do. Probably end up doing everything.
When you guys win a national championship, and obviously everybody's talking about you as potentially the number one pick in the draft, you go into this season with the suspension. All was there when you did make that sacrifice, as it were. Do you think that was it just a little too much too soon coming out of the championship, or was it just a matter of no, you know, I messed up and I need to fix this?
I'm sorry. Can you kind of
that? Well, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, when you win the national championship, you get that kind of spotlight on you.
Yeah.
Did that kind of lead to maybe, you know, the mistakes that you made?
It was just a lapse of judgment on my part. It was a stupid 19-year-old decision that I made, and I learned from it and made the best of my opportunity afterwards.
What'd you think of how you guys' season went this year? Obviously, it didn't live up to the expectations that were preseason, but that would have been difficult to do.
I think that would be impossible to live up to the ridiculous expectations of these fans. But, I mean, you go out there every week with that target on your back. You got to win by 40 points or it's an off week. So I think we had an amazing year. We ended up top five team in the country, beat a great team in a great bowl. And we were brought much closer together through the whole experience.
You think the quarterback sort of controversy that took place over the off season and really kind of funneled into the season, you think that ended up hurting you guys?
Yeah, it was tough because two great players, and you obviously want to see them both on the field. And Coach Meyer was just really in a tough position with choosing who should have played. He should have picked one guy, and he should have stuck with the guy through the whole season. But I'm still proud of my team. I'm happy with what we accomplished.
Since Coach Meyer's been there, I mean, it's a big deal when you guys lose a game at Ohio State. What's that like when you actually lose? What's the response from the fans and from everybody else? Because it just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, it was really deflating to lose that game, and we were really down after that game, and I didn't know how we were going to come back from it. But seeing our team come together and play our, I think, best game of the season against that team up north. It just said a lot about our team to be able to come back from a loss like that.
When you guys won the national championship, first playoff and big bad Alabama, you guys go in there, and at what point in that game do you realize, you know what, we're better than these guys? And when you go to the championship, what point do you know we're better than these guys, we're going to win this?
I think we were confident. Last year, we were definitely looked at the underdogs a couple times in those games, but we were totally confident in ourselves. We knew if we did what we had to do, we would be in a very good spot to win those games.
The upside to being one of the top guys in the draft is the payday is nice.
Yeah.
The downside is you often end up on pretty bad teams, and you know, there's a lot going on in Cleveland right now. They seem to be a total mess.
Yeah.
But that said, I mean, you've been going to school in Ohio. You familiar with the area. You'd be a local hero around there. They need defensive line help. But then there's places like San Diego who need defensive line help.
A little warmer.
Yeah, you know. I mean, have you? I know you don't. Of course, you want to be picked by whoever wants you. But in your head, have you kind of like said, "Oh, here's a place I'd really love to be. This wouldn't be a great fit for me."
Yeah, I have my thoughts, but of course, I'm going to be honored by whoever wants to pick me, and I'm going to do the best I possibly can there.
You've had enough time in cold weather, right?
It's nice to be back home in Florida.
Tell us what you got going on with this Far Cry Primal Media Day.
Yeah, so you were talking about I'm a big gamer, so I've been into Far Cry a lot. It's a sick franchise. They're coming out with a new game later this month on the 23rd called Far Cry Primal, and you get to run around in the Stone Age, kill saber-toothed tigers, ride woolly mammoths. Sounds cool to me, and I can't wait to buy
it.
Nice.
Yeah, that does sound cool. How much time do you spend gaming during now that the season's over?
A lot. Just got the newest Xbox, so a lot of Call of Duty, a lot of Far Cry, a lot of FIFA.
How many hours a day are you training these days?
I'm in there twice a day, probably for 2.5 hours a piece, but that's half of it. There's the treatment and the massages and the yoga and the Pilates. I'm doing every possible thing I can to be ready.
It's a lot different than after, you know, your last season where it's a little bit relaxing. I mean, this is work, man. It's a job now.
It's nice when it's only football, though, when I get to just set my mind on one thing and not worry about school or other distractions.
Well, congratulations on the success, and I'm looking forward to see where you end up. You got a guy in the NFL you think you compare to?
Yeah, I've been asked a lot today. So Larry Johnson, obviously my D-line coach, had a guy, Tamba Ali, I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
And when I watch him, I see Coach Johnson's teaching perfectly. So I just try to model my game after him, how he uses his hands. I love the way he uses his hands. So, I'd have to say him.
Well, looking forward to seeing you on Sundays, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Best of luck. And tell you what, man, if somebody goes before this guy – there's not. I can't
That's
think of
saying.
One or two. One player maybe that should go before you, man. I mean, at most. So good luck.
I hope so. Thank you.
And I think you're gonna have a great NFL career. And good luck with the next getting ready for the combine and everything.
Thank you.
A lot of money on the line man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's Joey Bosa. All right. So that's two pretty darn high draft picks we've had back to back. So that worked out okay. But anyway, we've also got a lot more to go. So. Here from Radio Row. So anyway, couple things. First off, I want to thank Michael Pearson once again, who's getting all these great guests for us, as always.
Of course.
My buddy AD is keeping us on air. I mean, they're
and bringing you pizza.
And brought me pizza, too, which I really appreciate because I was starving. I hadn't really eaten much the last couple days.
I grabbed a sandwich at the deli next door on my way in. It was strong. I shouldn't have gotten jalapenos on it. That may have been my mistake.
Really?
Yeah. I'm feeling it now, but But solid.
Well, I'm gonna go on record with something, because every year we always have a quarterback that one of us likes, and mine was Bridgewater 2 years ago. Yours was Derek Carr. Mine's Paxton Lynch this year. I like that guy. I like his size. I like his mobility. I like the way that he improved last season, and I think with the right offense, he'll be terrific. I just don't know. I don't know. He's going to go too high.
I'll give you, I like him relatively. I'm not crazy about any of these guys, but I do like him relative to some of the other guys that are
of the guys
about.
That we're going to be talking about. That's the guy I like the best. Quick break.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP.
Word up, 2 for 5's over here, baby. Word up, 2 for 5's, we just got garbage down the way. Word up.
Cash rules everything around me, cream it.
Yeah, check this old fly shit out. Word up.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here at Radio Row. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. And you know what? This is pretty cool. We've managed to get both of the safeties from the Redskins over the last 2 days. We had your partner in crime, Deshaun Golson, yesterday. Duke Nacho joins us now.
What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Excellent, man. I can't complain. I'm blessed.
How you liking this Radio Row thing?
It's cool. It's cool. It's my first time being here. I didn't know it was going to be this many people. It's tight, though. I like it. I like the energy in here. I'm a big energy guy, and I feel a lot of it right now.
You played a pretty big I mean, obviously, it didn't work out for you guys.
Right.
But you had a big game in the Super Bowl. You actually played pretty well. One of the few guys who played well that
day. Yeah.
In the Super Bowl. Was that how incredible is it to be on that field and you know, this part is all cool,
right?
But you don't deal with as much of this when you're actually in the game.
Yeah, I much rather be getting ready to preparing for the game instead of doing this. But this is another part of it that I didn't see, but that is pretty cool too. But Super Bowl was amazing. I keep telling my friends, man. You know, there are some athletes or some players that say they'd rather not go. They'd rather not go to the Super Bowl than go to the Super Bowl and lose.
No,
that's absolutely false.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I would rather go to the Super Bowl and lose than never to experience it because it's such a bigger – so much bigger than the actual game.
Well, but you become part of history when you play in the Super Bowl, you know?
It's crazy, man. And just to be on the field and I had a good game. Even though we lost, I still felt like, you know, I played well on the big stage. It says a lot about, like, my confidence and lets me know that I can play on the biggest stage, and not pressure is not an option, or not a big deal.
You feel like that game just kind of got it slipped away a little bit early on, and you guys were never able to get the traction back, or was Seattle just on a different level that day?
I felt like that was just one of those games where it was just clicking,
yeah,
and everything was just the ball was rolling their way. I don't think we weren't, you know, unprepared. I don't think we were scared or. You know, I think we had a good game plan, all that stuff. But it's just one of those games that, you know, those kind of things happen. You know what I mean? Like, just momentum. And that's something that you can't even, like, draw up or you can't even, you know, tell a story about. That's the kind of game it was. And I think if we played that game 10 times, you know, you never know what happened. I don't think it would be like they were just that better than us.
They were better than us on that day.
And they won the Super Bowl, rightfully so. And credit to them, but I definitely feel it was one of those things that just kind of flew.
You know, you got a lot of former teammates who are back again,
right?
You know, have you been following with them? Have you been talking to them? Is you feel like this team is as good as that team you were on?
I still keep, you know, in touch with a lot of the guys, and you know, we still have close relationships and close ties. And you know, I've been in Denver a few times since I left, and I do feel like the team is. I mean, obviously the offense is not as good.
Right.
I feel like the defense is better, and it says a lot because I was on that defense.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but as a unit, they're definitely playing better. They look like a complete team, you know, when I watch them on TV. So I definitely think, you know, they're in a position. So regardless if they're better or not, we're in the same position that we were in 2 years ago, and you know, I think that they got a chance to win it.
So. Talk about the future of this Redskins team because obviously the season didn't go the way you wanted because you were out early, but they got better as the year went on, get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What do you see with this team moving forward, especially when they get you back in the lineup?
I feel like it's very important for us to not rely on last year's success and think that's going to dictate our success moving forward. Because it's very easy to think that just because you went 9-7, you made an improvement from one year to the next, that you're going to keep making improvements. It's very easy to go backwards. And I think it's important for our my teammates and my team, my organization, my coaches to understand that we still got a lot of work to do. But I'm very optimistic about where we're headed. I think we're, you know, kind of settled on our quarterback. I think, you just never know, but I think we're settled on our quarterback. The GM, he's put in a lot of good pieces. He's very good at, you know, finding pieces and has a great eye for who fits where and what kind of guys he likes. Our defensive coaches and the coordinator, just having another year under them is going to help us be able to play faster and understand the defense and just play better and be more effective. Our young guys that played last year are a little older and wiser now, so that pressure and that nervousness and those butterflies are not going to be quite as big. So I'm very optimistic. It was sad that I didn't get to play, but I had fun watching, man, and I was very proud of the guys, especially just given the fact that nobody gave us a shot. You know what I mean? Like every team in the playoffs said nobody gave us a shot. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every team says, like,
your case.
Every team says, like, people doubted us. They didn't think it was, like, if you look at, like, the Patriots, like, people thought that when they got hurt, they're not going to make it. The Steelers, people, every team said that. But nobody lived it like we really lived it. You know what I mean? We really lived it. Nobody gave us a shot. And I think it was just a great sight to see when we finally made the playoffs, because it was just hard-earned.
Was there a division in the locker room? And we asked DeShaun yesterday if it was the case, but of people who thought RG3 should be the starting quarterback and people who thought Kirk Cousins should be the starting quarterback.
Nah,
was that an issue for you guys at
all
this year?
It wasn't an issue. And I think the main reason is because regardless of how people feel, the one common denominator is that we want to win, you know? And it doesn't matter who's a quarterback. Put feelings to the side, because every one of us have, you know, been in a position where we felt like we should have been playing or we feel like we should be starting, and we're not necessarily starting. You know what I mean? And just because it's a quarterback, it makes it no difference. We got to keep rolling. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter if it's him starting. It doesn't matter if I'm starting that quarterback. We got to keep rolling. And I think that's the most important thing, is winning. So if this guy gives us the best shot to win, regardless of how I feel about this guy, then let's go. I'm going to feel bad. You know what I mean? I'm going to feel bad, especially if you have a relationship with the guy. I'm going to feel bad. But I can't control that. I just want to win. And when you win, it takes care of everything.
Did you see, watching from, having to observe, did you see Kirk Cousins grow up over the second half of the season?
Yeah, I definitely did. I see him become more comfortable. I felt like he was playing with so much pressure that it's very hard. Like, some people didn't like Kirk just because the decision that Jay made. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even anything personal. It was just like we like RG3, and damn, RG3, man, I feel bad for him, so I don't like Kirk. You know what I mean? So he was playing with that monkey on his back. But I felt like throughout the season, early on, man, he played well, then didn't play well. Play well, but then he started getting in the rhythm. And then the more and more the games progressed and the season progressed, you started seeing people kind of like embrace him, and the city embraced him, and the team embraced him. And people started getting behind him and rallying behind him. So it made him more loose and play more comfortable and feel like, you know what, they're not all against me. You know what I mean? Like, some of these guys support me, so it makes, whenever you feel like you got support from your teammates in the city, you play more comfortable, play more relaxed, and I think that's the result was a better performance in the second half of the season.
Well, Duke, I hope you get healthy fast.
Yeah, me too. Likewise,
and stay healthy next year. And I hope you guys have an even better season, man.
No question, man. Appreciate
you spending some time with us.
Oh, man, thank you.
All right, well, we got to take another quick break here, and when we come back, I think this is the last time we're not going to have a guest for a while.
Yeah, for a couple hours anyway.
At least. So Chuck Pagano after that, Steve Badwater, Brandon Marshall, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jamal Charles, RJ Bell. Yeah, it's going to come back.
Busy show again.
So we'll get to some topics when we come back. It's Fred Power, AJ Hoffman.
Just like
Charles Brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.
Turn blue and the sky green, a little drop of dreams can go so far. I know you got the anger of a burning sun. Say, hold up just a minute, don't burn me down.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here at Radio Row in San Francisco. And we do have a guest here, and a damn good one, I must say, because we've been fortunate enough to get a chance to talk with Lance Briggs a couple of times over the last few years, and yeah. Good to have you back, man.
Good to be back.
How are you enjoying the this experience here, man? It's pretty wild here today.
You know, it's each year you try to figure out how each event's going to go and how it's going to take in each city. And I'm from Northern California, and I'm impressed with the turnout and how. Actually, I thought it would be harder to get around in San Francisco than it is. And actually, you can move around a little bit better than I thought it would be, you know, because this is such a congested city,
yeah.
You know, already, you know, and you add the Super Bowl. But gotten around pretty easy out here.
The public transit system out here is so great.
It's good. It's very good.
Notice it. Like, they've got that BART, and then all the buses are all electric. I mean, this is right. They've got it figured out
right.
As far as, like, you know, how to get people around this place.
Indeed.
This is your first year without football, right?
My first year without football.
How was it? I mean, are you any regrets? Or when you're sitting there on Sundays and you're like, this sucks, but then on Monday you don't wake up feeling like crap? I mean,
it's been great on my body.
Yeah.
You know, it's been great on my body. You know, it's different. You know, I've been playing football since I was 7 years old. So, you know, now the transition to you're not going to play football anymore is a little different. You know, and this first year was a year where I wasn't sure if I was going to play or not, so I was training and working on different things and working on afterwards, you know, and now, you know, at within the first 3 weeks of the season, I knew that football, I didn't want to play football anymore. You know, I was sure, you know, 100% sure. And so now it is different. It's different because football is that's my skill, you know, and now I have to, you know, learn a different skill. You know, to for the rest of my career, for a career, for life, you know.
You got one in mind? What are you working on?
Well, one thing to do is stay around football, you know. Commentate, broadcast, coach, stay around football, you know. So that's one way to always be around a skill that a skill set that I was always brought upon.
You've got to enjoy seeing teams like this in the Super Bowl playing the kind of defense, because you guys, when you were at your best, you were built around you and Urlacher, and the Super Bowl team was such a great defense. And how is it as you look at those teams? You got to be enjoying this, right? This is defense.
I love it.
Best.
I mean, usually when you get to the Super Bowl, you're going to get two teams typically that are good running teams that can run the ball. You know, or some of the better running football teams in the NFL, and they're also going to get the best defenses. You know, and to me, best defenses are built around fundamentals, details. You know, and guys that make the defense, not the defensive scheme. It's not about the scheme; it's about the men that are in there that play in that scheme that make it work.
I want to ask you about your old team, and now that you're outside of it, looking back on it. It was always my contention you guys needed to get back to being a defensive-oriented team. Do you think with John?
That's who Chicago is.
And that's the thing that it's kind of been missing when Trestman was there. But
that was an experiment.
Do you think John Fox is kind of getting that back? And do you see how long do you think it's going to take to get the Bears back where they need to be?
Well, you know, John Fox is definitely a much better fit than Mark Trestman was. You know, in Chicago and. Get back to, you know, as far as defensively, and they played a lot better defense this year than we all really kind of expected. But to get back to where we kind of want them to be, you know, going from a 4-3 to a 3-4 is going to be a little different. You want to get pieces, you want to get guys in those pieces in place to succeed. And they did a good job with the guys that they had, even getting rid of Jared Allen and having Willie Young in there and putting guys in that are really unfamiliar with the 3-4 defense. So I think they're – I think Chicago Bears really are about 2 or 3 years away from having all the pieces in place to make that championship run.
I've always been a Jay Cutler guy. I like Jay's game.
Are you?
I love the way he throws the football. People tell me all the time, no way his teammates could possibly like him. He's a pain in the ass. He doesn't care. He's just aloof. I mean,
well, how did you respond to that?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. You tell me.
But you said you're a Cutler guy.
I do like Jay Cutler. I like what I can see of him.
Right.
I like what I can see on the field.
Right.
Off the field, that's where my question is. Is Jay Cutler a guy the team believes in? Is Jay Cutler a guy that you feel is a guy can win a Super Bowl someday?
I'm a guy who played for Chicago from 2003, to 2014. And in those years, we had, something like 24 different quarterbacks.
Right.
And if you have that many quarterbacks, over that period of time, to have a guy that can come in and you can count on with that arm, and his knowledge and his ability is a blessing. So for the Chicago Bears and having Jay Cutler right now, obviously they lost Adam Gase, who I think is a huge loss, to the Bears system. But if they can continue to do the Bears system the way they did this past year, I think Jay Cutler is a guy that can lead them to a championship.
So you're saying in the locker room, the team like Jay Cutler?
The team like Jay Cutler, yeah. Why not? Okay. Why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't they? I'm sure in the whole locker room, everybody's not going to be a Jay Cutler fan.
Right.
There are guys that are going to like him a lot more. There are guys that aren't going to like him. That's the way the locker room is. There are guys that didn't like me.
Who didn't like you?
Huh? Who didn't like me?
Yeah.
I don't know, but if you find out, I'm going to have to handle that guy.
I don't want to know.
So they're telling us you got to go. So tell us about your Bricks for Kids camp in Tucson.
Got a Bricks for Kids camp coming up in Tucson. Camp, we've done this camp for the past 5 years in my alma mater, Arizona. And we've had anywhere from 300 to 350 to actually even 400 kids, participate. Bring a lot of the ex-Wildcats out there. And a lot of times, we get the kids together. They get a chance to relate to a lot of these guys that have played there, their heroes, the guys that they're most familiar with. The camp costs about $40, so we try to make it as affordable as possible for all the kids to come out and learn football skills. So it's a great time, and want as many kids as possible to come out.
Well, Lance Briggs, Lance, really appreciate the time as always, man. And it looks like retirement's agreeing with you, and good luck in however, whether you're going to coaching or whatever, man. I know you'll be great at it.
Thank you, fellas.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Lance Briggs, sure thing.
Thank you. I like Lance.
I do, too. He's always a fun guy to talk to here, and we'll and always an open guy. I mean, he'll be honest with you about stuff. I think that dude,
in the grand scheme, underrated. That's a guy who, how many years in a row was that guy one of the best linebackers in the league and happened to play on the field with Brian Urlacher, who was arguably the best linebacker in the league for a lot of those years. And just, I think, a guy who was very overshadowed and underappreciated by a lot of fans, media, and things like that. That's a good player.
Yeah, and one of the things we've always talked about, and I thought last year with the Bears, and I like Mark Trestman, don't get me wrong, but that just wasn't the fit to go out there and fling the ball all over the place. That's not the Chicago identity. It's not what's going to win in that division, and they need to get back to that. But the follow-up there,
Aaron Rodgers disagrees with you.
But. Well, but the Bears aren't going to beat Aaron Rodgers by trying to out Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that's the way they were able to beat him before, was by beating his head in. And that's what they need to get back to. But to be fair, you don't have Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher anymore,
right,
and Peanut Tillman and the
Daniel
guys.
Daniel Manning,
who was back there for a while. Even when Devin Hester was playing corner. I mean, there's a lot of guys they just don't have anymore, and they haven't done a terrific job of replacing. And I think John Fox does fit that sort of mindset, but whether or not it gets it turned around, we'll have to wait and see. All right, if you want to get in touch with us, probably two ways to do it. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. So that was supposed to be an open segment, but, Lance Briggs, we're not going to.
What are we going to do, send him away?
No. Come on. I like that guy. Plus, I think he'd beat us up. But
might beat you up. I feel good.
Really?
Okay.
Good luck with that. I'll sit back and watch. We're going to have Chuck Pagano at some point. I think he's running a little bit behind, so we may or may not have him right at the top here. But we'll see how it goes. Don't go anywhere. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman.
Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50.
I think this sounds awesome.
Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. From Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back. Live here on Radio Row here in San Francisco. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. And looking ahead, looks like we will have Chuck Pagano either at the end of this segment or at the beginning of the next one. So we're waiting on him.
We're fluid right now.
Yeah,
is what we
yeah,
are. That's
what
we got to be out here.
Did I just smell weed in here?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
You smell weed all over this city.
I know, but I think it's interesting to actually smell it inside the media room here at
I'm not shocked.
At the Super Bowl. Well, it's not coming from the media. It's coming from... There's a large fan contingent. Well, maybe it is coming.
Could be.
Media.
I don't know. I don't know for
Michael,
sure.
Do you know?
It's not Mike, I don't think.
No. Okay.
What was that?
You've been smoking any weed out here? What's that? Where's the smell coming from?
It's coming from the dispensaries, is what they call it.
Okay.
But I talked to Officer Collins. He was walking around Radio Row. Because I was not sure about marijuana and guys that don't have medical cards.
Right.
And so I said, Officer Collins, being honest with you, no disrespect, but if you caught a guy smoking weed that doesn't have a card, break that down for me. How is that against the law? What is
it? It depends.
He said,
if it were I, no problem. If it were you, he'd shoot you.
I doubt it. I doubt it. And this is what he said, because it's making sense here. He said, it's like jaywalking here.
Oh, really?
He said, it's not a misdemeanor. It's an infraction. He said, we take the weed, we get your information, and never see you again.
I'll be damned.
So even
I like this
so,
city.
So even if a black guy gets a jaywalking ticket, he's usually not harassed for crossing the street without a light. So I doubt it'd be a problem if he's, you
Depends
know,
on if it's dark talking. Outside or not. But, yeah, I see where you're going.
But, you know, you're right, man. You smell.
It's all over the place.
It's everywhere. I'm wondering if they
It's in the elevator at our hotel.
I wonder if they – well – Snoop Dogg is staying in our hotel.
Did you hear about this? Snoop Dogg got all his gear stolen?
Yes. I seen his, Daz and Corrupt from the Dog Pound. I was in the lobby, seen them walking out, of course. They whiffed by, and I smelled it on them.
Ugh.
And then I guess they went to the performance, and later on that night, which was Tuesday night, I believe, their stuff got stolen at a party. So
Damn shame.
You got to know the thugs are preying on these guys because they know the stars are in town.
That's right.
The jury is in town, the money's in town, and the thugs have nothing else to do but prey on rich guys.
I was just I went to the restroom during that break, and it's always awkward to me, like when you stand at the urinal and someone comes and stands at the urinal right next to you when there's open spaces, and that just happened to me, and I look over, it's kind of like, oh, what are you doing?
Well, how do you become a snob in the bathroom? Who becomes a snob of the – it's the bathroom.
He's been that way.
It's the bathroom. It's where you put waste.
I know, but if
so
there's –
So how can you be a snob about
if
it?
If there's five urinals and I'm on the very far right one
– That's true.
And someone comes and stands at the one not right next to you, that's weird, right?
Well, not in San Francisco.
So I look over. Let me tell you what it was. I look over. I'm already annoyed that this guy picked the urinal right next to me. It's Joe Namath. So I couldn't be like.
You should be honored.
I was honored. I was honored.
Should be honored.
Even across the streams.
Even if he was trying to gaze at my meat.
Oh,
I'd be honored that it was Joe Namath, that Broadway Joe wanted
Joe,
to.
Joe, cool, man.
I don't know if he did want a peek, but if he did, it's cool.
Yeah, it's Joe cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's Joe cool.
Oh boy, where to go from here? I want a favor.
Jesus,
I want a favor from the Blitzers. I want you all to tweet at Mayor Sylvester Turner to get his butt down here to the Yahoo thing because we want to have him on. And he's apparently been down here doing radio, and I voted for him. Damn it, I think he should come on our show.
Hmm,
I don't think that's too much to ask, is it?
No, not at all. Okay, I gotta go. It's your show.
All right, what are you working on?
Right now, Chuck Pagano's in traffic, we should have him at 5 Central.
Okay.
And we'll
like
just
traffic
go from
outside
there.
Or traffic in here?
Traffic outside.
Oh, okay.
It's San Francisco. It's like New York. You're better off walking 11 blocks versus driving 2.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
All right. Thank you. That's Michael Pearson. And I thank you for that clarification on just if I happen to be walking around and having some weed and not having a license for it.
All right.
I like this place more and more every day. I'm not going to lie. And looking forward to Houston next year, I think it's going to be real interesting to see. There's two real issues. And actually, I did want to ask the mayor about these, and maybe we'll get them on next week at some point. But, you know, as somebody who lives down there, there's still a lot of construction going on, a lot of street work being done. Some of it's pretty severe. I'm curious what the time frame is because you can't have those streets torn up the way they are during Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
And I also think it'll be kind of cool to show off just how different Houston's downtown is, even from the last time the Super Bowl was here. We've got, I think, 8,000 new residentials going up in downtown Houston over the next 2 years. So it's changing, and a lot of people are going to be there. I prefer the way it is now where I get all the positives of a downtown without too many people.
Right.
So 5 years from now, I may not like it as much.
Right, you won't have it.
Because, there's going to be more people there. I just wonder if that doesn't slow down with the oil prices going down, if maybe that's something that's, I don't know. I'm just curious. But anyway, a lot of other stuff we can get to here. And we hit on this a little bit. We talked about the quarterbacks in this class. And when you look at Dallas, where they're picking, and obviously with all the Manziel stuff, I don't think they can touch him with a 10-foot pole as a backup.
I mean, Dallas said no thanks.
Yeah, they said no thanks.
I don't think anybody's interested in this guy right now.
I don't think the Texans are going to be able to get a guy at 22. I really don't, other than not one of the guys that I think can actually come in and play right away.
Lynch, Wentz, Goff, you think are all gone?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.
This is going to be very exciting.